Mum Tribe Podcast.
You are very welcome along to the Mum Tribe Podcast, episode number 5. And today we're going to be talking about childcare. I think some people have had that decision where they've gone, will I go back to work? Will I put my child into childcare? Will, you know, even will I send my child to play school? And that kind of question that you have. So I was in that position where, so before I had my son, I was like, I'm not going back to work.
Yeah, it was
it was actually my way out of work.
It was also my way out of work. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah, me too.
I think he was only about 4 months old and I was like, I can't do this all of the time. It's really hard being a stay-at-home parent.
Rewind. Could you afford to not work?
Yes.
I actually hate you.
I work now to cover the cost of the creche.
That's ridiculous, Ellen.
Yeah.
So mine was just like a dream that I knew would never happen. And yeah. Oh my God, I'm actually so jealous of you now because...
No, we are in the lucky position.
You are incredibly lucky.
We bought at the bottom of the creche. We just happened to be... in the market at that point in time, there were zero houses available. I think we had 5 houses to choose from, so we just chose one of them. So we have quite a small house. We probably will have to change at some point. We made some concessions on things, so like we have no parking, we have no garden, stuff like that, do you know. When you're that close to Dublin, you kind of need somewhere to park.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, then it kind of came to, he's about 4 months old, and I was like, rrr. And then I'd made the decision to go back to work. But I was very, very lucky as well with work that they wanted me back. So I was able to name my terms. So I chanced my arm going, can I come back on a 3-day week? And my chin hit the floor when they said yes. I was absolutely delighted. So again, even though I've had moments where I wanted to give up work since, I know I'm very lucky with my circumstances. Yeah. But yeah, so then the whole childcare bit came up. I remember we've brought it up with my mother-in-law since, otherwise I wouldn't mention it. But when I was pregnant, she was like, oh, I won't be minding that child now the way your parents mind the kids for your sister, you know, all this, that and the other. She takes him out of creche at least one day a week.
Oh, really? Oh, that's really nice though.
And I'm back up to full-time hours at the moment temporarily. Yeah. Not a problem. She just loves taking them.
Okay.
And it's so funny how life just changes. You know?
I think when the child is there though, it's different. Because my mum said the same. She was like, we're too old. Now, okay, my parents are like in their mid-70s. They really are too old for childcare. But then as soon as he was born, my mom straight away was just like fell for him and she was like, oh, I love him, bring him to my house, I'll come down and see you. And then my dad, like my son and my dad are like best friends.
That's cute.
It's so cute. Like as soon as he sees him, he runs to him and kisses him and gives him a cuddle. And then he's like, come and sit on the couch and we'll read a book and we'll do a puzzle and we'll play. And you know,
that's so cute
compared to other people. But like, yeah, say for me, like I'm kind of joking that I wanted to give up work. I just think it had been in my head all along. I was like, oh, well, I'll be a stay at home mom because, you know, I'd be really good at that. And then I burned through my maternity because we didn't have paid maternity. So it was like state maternity benefit. Was yours paid?
I was the same. No, I didn't have paid maternity. So I got the state benefit.
I don't understand how they expect people to survive on that little money.
Well, I mean, not to go too far from motherhood, but I suppose there's a lot of mothers in homelessness at the moment.
It's
Is there
crazy.
Any wonder there are 10,000 people homeless in this country when...
It's horrendous.
You know, if you can't get a job for whatever reason, you're expected to live on pittance.
So I mean, like, let's add up the costs. You've nappies, and when you wean the baby, you food. If you can't breastfeed, then you've formula. You've got your wipes, your creams, your baby grows that they grow out of every 2 seconds, and all the paraphernalia that goes with having a baby. And that's not luxury stuff, that's like basic cot and a car seat if you're lucky enough to have a car. You like, you know, the cost alone, and then they expect people to live on this kind of money. That's what happened to me. So I said, I'll take extended leave and I'm going to take as much as I possibly can. So I took the 6 months, obviously, that you get. And then I was going into the unpaid. But I think I had enough holidays that did me for an extra few weeks. And then once I had my... So once that was over, it was kind of a case of, okay, well, let's see, my husband had just switched jobs and... our mortgage, like, compared to yours, is quite high because my husband bought our place, which is lovely, don't get me wrong, just before the property crash.
Yeah.
So, like, he paid something close to what someone would pay for, like, a 3 or 4 bed house in Cork now for the apartment that we live in now. And that kind of sickens me still to this day because...
But it was literally a flip of a coin situation.
It was. It was just ridiculous.
You know, at that point in time, he probably thought, we've got to get our property.
Actually, and it was more of... happened. Yeah, there was kind of personal circumstances there that, like, I wouldn't talk for him, but he kind of had to.
Yeah.
And so then he bought it. And don't get me wrong, it's lovely. It is really lovely. But it's definitely suited to, like, a family or to a couple.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just, like... two people living there that don't have kids, and we live in a lovely area, and I'll never be bitter about it or whatever, but, like, you know, because there's lots of people out there that don't have somewhere to live, and I'm very much, like, conscious about that. But at the same time, so, like, we had all these bills and a mortgage and everything else, and, you know, we have 2 cars that we run, and, you know, car insurance and whatever else. And so I went back to work from home part-time. I was extremely lucky in that the owners of the company that I worked for had loads of kids themselves and were just really family focused.
They got it. Yeah.
Very, very, very fair. And they said to me, you know, like, your work is great and we want you to come back and we let you work from home. What happened to me, though, was I was working like crazy hours trying to prove to myself and to everyone else that I could do my job, and I could do my job as good as I did when I was pre-baby. And that was grand, but, like, the drop in money alone was kind of going, oh my God, why am I doing this, you know? So if I had gone down the childcare route, the traditional childcare route, I should say, like, the, you know, the creche or a childminder, then I would have been, like, negative money every month. So then my parents stepped in. Thank God. Thank God for my parents. And it was a natural thing because my mom was so obsessed with him, my dad was so obsessed with him. It's a case of, oh, look, we just have a few hours for 2 days where there'll be an overlap when I'd be going to work and my husband would be at work, and they just covered it. And I was very, very lucky. Now, saying that, I do give them money to mind my son. But I know there's lots of people like you out there that, you know, pay for childcare, and that's extremely hard. Because I'm now going down the route of, I think I have to find a childminder that's more kind of age appropriate to mind my son, because my mum finds it hard to lift him and my dad has a bad knee, and going for walks aren't as fun anymore because he's got this crazy toddler to run after. And so, yeah, it's stressful financially, I think. Anyway,
I think that for me was a major decision as well. So it was a case of, what can we find that meets our needs but also meets us financially and also, you know, meets the needs of the child. So I remember a lot of people when I was at, like, baby groups and stuff going, oh, I wouldn't send my child to a creche. And I was almost like, well, I wouldn't send my child to a childminder. But why? That is totally controversial to say back to someone, I wouldn't send my child to a childminder.
It is.
And it's not that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
My preference is a creche setting. So I was really lucky growing up as well that I knew a lady who ran a creche. So we used to get a half day on a Friday in secondary school, and she used to let me go up there and help out on a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
So this was, I think, flipping back to one of the former episodes, I think it was part of the reason I had, like, such bad anxiety as well, because I was like, oh, I've helped raise other people's kids.
And why can't I do it?
Being a parent is really easy, like, because being a childminder was really easy.
I too. Two nieces, and I was like, ugh, they're up on my shoulder. Well, one of them, when I was doing my leave insert, and I was great, and I used to always mind her, and I can deal with this. And then I was like, I can't deal with this.
Not the same.
I can't deal with anything Don't look at me, Dave.
But I love creches.
Yeah?
Now, you'll get one creche different from another creche.
Okay.
And, you know, I just think kids in a creche, they have a kind of continuity of care, but it is swapped care. So, you know, they may know 6 or 7 different minders.
Okay.
But they have a different kind of relationship with each of those 6 or 7 different minders. And then they'll have their, like, core minders. The way creches are set up nowadays is completely different to the way that it used to be set up.
I'm incredibly interested in this now because I was that person in the baby group saying I wouldn't send my child to a creche.
Yeah.
Only because I had heard Oh my God, if any creche like workers or mums that send their kids to creche, please don't think about this now at all. But I had heard of a few bad things that had happened at creche. And it's like with anything, like I just heard something bad and it just lodged in my brain and that's all I could think about.
And a lot of people are anti-creche for that reason.
But tell me why you're pro-creche, because I'm really interested.
So like where I was, so all I could know was from my own experience. Yeah. So I was like 16 through to 21 helping out there. I wasn't specifically working there because I had no qualifications necessarily, but I was allowed to kind of help out.
Okay.
And they gave me a little bit of pocket money. It wasn't that much. And what I used to do was I put my name up and my sister made me business cards and I got loads of babysitting jobs out of it.
That's why you have no mortgage.
Minted. Still have my communion money. But yeah, so I knew from my own experience that I would never let a child cry. I would never let a child be hurt. I would never let a child be excluded. I used to sit with kids and do their homework with them. And I was only a couple of years older than them or whatever. And I just remember the relationship that I built up with a lot of those kids was absolutely amazing. I had one little girl and she was just the kind of child that wanted to be up, extremely like my own son is now. So fantastic training. She used to want to be up in my arms when we would wash the dishes and everyone else in the creche would be like, oh, you spoil her so much. But it was me she had the attachment to.
That's lovely.
And they all had their own little ones that they spoiled as well, or like their own little group of ones. And I remember then when her little sister came along, same thing. She was always up in my arms as well. And I just got to know those kids. Now, they probably wouldn't know me from the next door neighbour if they saw me in the street now. Yeah.
Do you see the kids around?
The odd time I would.
Do you feel like running over and giving them a hug?
There was one, I was sitting in the pub, my local pub one time, and he came along to serve me. He was like a lounge boy and I was like, oh my goodness, I used to mind you. And he was like, you're not old enough to mind you. And I was like, your little brother was one of my favorites. He was like, you know my little brother. I was like, that little blondie, I will never forget. He broke my heart and he just went really red.
Aww.
But like that, I was like, I just felt that affiliation.
Yeah.
So that to me was kind of enough to go, I want to go the creche route.
Yeah.
The creche that we're in at the moment, the manager knows every single child in there.
Okay, that's good.
My baby loves her.
Yeah.
He didn't to begin with.
Oh, really?
And she knows that as well. And there are days, because she's quite strict, but I think kids need that kind of strictness, but very approachable as well. And then he had two minders when he went in. And I actually almost got jealous at one point how much he would run to them and give them a cuddle in the morning time.
Oh.
And then both of them left quite suddenly. And child went through turmoil.
Oh my God.
He was topsy-turvy for about 3 months. It was like two people who he had created a bond with had just been removed from his life. And that to me reinforced my affection for the creche as well. But it also reinforced my desire to not use a childminder. So again, I think the kids do build up that affection with the one person.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic in a way. So if they love their childminder, then they're going to want to go to their childminder. You know, they're always going to want to come home to their parents as well. That's not the issue. But say that childminder then goes on holidays and or the childminder has a routine and then you have a routine. Mm. I think there's just a little bit
it's more problematic, for me,
there's a bit more fluidity in the creche.
Yeah.
I think the other thing for us is the creche is pretty much on our doorstep.
Yeah.
Whereas to find a childminder and to find the right childminder, we could have been driving 20 minutes in the wrong direction and then coming back. It just all slotted in.
Yeah.
And that's where for me, the creche is probably a good bit more expensive than the childminder.
Yeah.
So you're talking like it's nearly €700 a month, which is funny because my colleague in work has her daughter in a London creche and it's £700 a month.
Okay, hold on.
And I'm like, hello, why are Dublin prices so sorry?
Dublin's very expensive.
I'm in Kildare, like.
I'm still very, very bitter about the gin and tonic that I paid €18 for in that pub that you brought me to.
Sorry.
€18. I mean, come on, like, no, break it down. How much is that so a day? Child minding. I don't know, I can't do maths.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a mathematician in any way, shape or form.
But I heard of a girl in Cork who has a childminder and it's €35 a day.
How many days a month does he go in? Like 20 days? Yeah, that's €35 a day.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. But see, my other issue as well with a childminder is if that childminder goes on holidays, do you have to take holidays at the same time? Because there's no backup. Whereas with a creche, you know the creche is going to be there every day. And that, for us, was quite important because my job is quite flexible, but getting leave, I usually have to plan it out months in advance.
Yeah.
And my husband is the exact same way. You know, and then we would have another couple of plates spinning as well that we would have to plan around.
Yeah.
So then if a childminder chose to take leave, and I had the benefit of my sister, her childminder, she uses a creche and she also uses my parents, so on every second week. And she struggled with that.
Okay.
So I'll never forget one time she was like, Mom and Dad are going on holidays. And I was like, it should be Mom and Dad are going on holidays.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I am delighted that they're going on holidays. But it just kind of throws a spanner in the works. Yeah. And she did pull herself back. She wasn't trying to be bad about it.
I know.
It was just more...
It's very hard though when someone says they can't do it.
Yeah.
Do you know? Or like that you're banking on someone being around for a certain time and then they say, oh, actually I have something on.
Yeah.
Like, say now with my parents, they might have an appointment or, you know, I might be asked to work a different day and then I'll ask them and it's more than likely my mum kind of doing like a heavy breathing sigh, kind of going
reluctantly,
fine, you know, but obviously like she helps me out as much as she can, but yeah, it is very difficult. And also like if say my parents don't do something that I'm very happy with, I find it hard to say it to them because I feel like I'm really offending them. Then sometimes I go in all guns blazing because I'm really annoyed. So like one thing is a Kinder Egg at the moment. Like my son would actually live on Kinder Eggs, just Kinder Eggs all day long. And even today now, my mum was there and she brought down jellies and Kinder Eggs, and she knew that he had had his lunch and had his breakfast, so there's no way that he could be hungry. And I keep saying to her, no snacks now between meals, because he's been really funny with eating since he was sick. And she was like, yeah, but sure, I have them now. And I think it's a grandparents thing as well.
It's
you know,
the fine line between childminder and grandparents as well. That's a tough one to tread.
Yeah, and even like she'd say, oh, don't give out to the child. But like he drew all over my TV with a Sharpie pen. And my husband said it to me and I had to like scrub it off with hairspray and like a little brush and stuff. And then the other day he was like trying to write on my kitchen table with the pencil. Not a pencil, a ballpoint pen. And I was like, don't do that. And my mum was like, don't shout at the poor child, come
and
here,
you're like
my
flashbacks
darling.
Of her shouting at you.
Oh yeah, she was like, oh, I have these very long fingernails and they used to be red, really, really long. And she used to scratch her palm like, I'm gonna smack you. Just to know, she never smacked me. It was the terror of seeing the nails come near me. I'd be like, oh, okay, it's grand. She's like Freddy Krueger, like she's just this face.
None of us ever got whacked by the wooden spoon, but it was like this tale just got told, and the wooden spoon or the hairbrush was always the threat. And none of us had a red mark from it. None of us ever got whacked, but it was that fear. And a healthy dose of fear never did a child any harm.
No, I think fear can work quite well, but yeah, I can do this voice and then she doesn't agree with it and that's hard. Whereas I think that if you go in a kind of creche situation, obviously, or even a childminder, they'll toe the line
know,
a bit.
I don't know, because I think you build up the rapport with people and you don't want to be that mum either. Well, I don't like being, because I'm always afraid of people like turning around afterwards going, oh, she's a right weapon, isn't she?
I know.
Probably because I'd say that about people myself. But yeah, I don't want to be that mum, but I have had to ring once or twice just about maybe like his bum wasn't as clean as I would want it to be or whatever.
Yeah. And what did they say?
Well,
then
that's the reaction is what I've always found just fantastic is there was one time where his, I think it was two nights in a row, his bum just wasn't as clean. There was a little bit like a brown kind of left over or whatever. Okay. It was probably just, you know, trying to change 400 bums in a day is like a lot or whatever.
Yeah.
Never has he ever come home with an issue again. And you know, you have to remember that not everyone goes into childcare with 40 years of experience.
Yeah.
Like a
That's
lot of
very
the
true,
staff sometimes are learning.
Yeah.
And I think if you give the feedback in the right way, so I would have always gone through the manager and said, listen, you know, can you deal with this. I'm just letting you know because I'm not 100% happy with it, and I'll let you know if there's any further issue. You know, and then there was another one where a couple of times he didn't get his milk because we give him like an almond milk,
yeah,
and then we put the powder in on top of it.
Okay.
It's because he drinks a slightly different milk, so he doesn't really like the taste of it, but it's kind of hidden with the almond milk. So it looks like there's already milk in the bottle, okay, or the sippy cup.
Okay.
But the powder has to be mixed in or else he won't drink it.
Okay.
And if it comes home like full, or if we, we'll just know by him if he hasn't had his milk in the middle of the day. And again, anytime we've said it, there's been like an apology and
a fix put in place.
So I think the other thing for me with creches is they're so heavily regimented now at this point. We get like a note home every day as to this is what he had for breakfast, lunch, dinner. They put it down if he refused it. They'll put down what they offered him and if it was refused.
Okay.
And like, my child refuses a lot of food. Like, I would eat most things, but my child refuses a lot of food, likes daddy. So he does refuse food a good bit.
Yeah.
And what I was surprised one time was they came to me and they were like, what does he eat? We'll cook him something he eats.
Oh, do they cook the food for him?
Yeah, it's all done on site because there's a child with a peanut allergy.
Okay.
So they have to have everything controlled. Okay. But like even that for like their birthdays, the chef cooks a cake on site. He knows the chef.
When we say
her name, he's like, yeah, because like she makes him stuff that's maybe slightly different sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But equally, so they said, we'll make him stuff that he'll like. We don't want to continue to offer him and then substitute because he'll know that there's always another option there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't want him to refuse. And I was like, that, I would have never thought about it because that's what I do at home.
Yeah.
I'm quite lax towards food because initially when we started weaning, I got myself stressed to the absolute hilt. And then the child came down with a urinary tract infection.
Oh, God.
And we ended up in Crumlin for three nights.
Oh.
And we couldn't, we didn't have access to cook food and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point, I only could default to jars, which he hated every single one of. And then people had to bring me in the fresh stuff that I had pureed and it was in the freezer or whatever. And it was at that point that I was like, no, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. So it was at that point that I was like, I'm never going to get stressed over food again. He'll either eat it or he won't eat it.
Yeah.
He'll eat when he's hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't really do kind of three square meals. Like, he didn't eat breakfast for months.
Okay.
And now he eats breakfast again.
Okay,
so
that's good.
I just think kids are cyclical. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. So I don't stress about it. But I've found that the childcare has really backed us up.
Okay.
In those kind of, even to try and teach us a little bit that actually, yeah, he will eat lamb stew. He won't eat it at home, but apparently he eats it in there.
Okay.
So, and kids do that a lot as well. So they're with other kids.
Yeah, and
going,
they see them
eat
something.
Kid's eating it.
Yeah.
So I might eat it. So that's where I just, I'm really happy with the creche.
Yeah.
I am really happy with the creche.
And what do you do then for like babysitters if you ever wanted to go somewhere?
We are inundated, thankfully, with family.
Family,
So his godmother is fantastic.
Okay,
and
brilliant.
We have offers from all over the place. Do you have a babysitter?
I did for a while. And now I'm actually thinking, because I am quite fussy. I'm not quite fussy. I'm incredibly fussy. Like, I have to have everything a certain way. We all know this. I know I have OCD and it links back to my anxiety, and that's grand. And I just now know what keeps me calm. And one of the things is making sure that the person who's looking after him, if God forbid anything ever happened to him, would know what to do and would have like access to transport. And that's one thing I'm actively trying to find someone now who can be like a stand-in babysitter / childminder. So that I can have someone who mind him during the day and have like and do activities with him. Because obviously, as Mum Trey was getting bigger and evolving, I'm getting to do more and I'm going more places and there's different locations that I want to do stuff in. And now I've started to do like site visits for stuff that I want to do in the future. And I'm finding it hard to rely on my mum and dad all the time. So I want to try and find someone that would come and look after my son for, say, a day while I'm at either work or doing Mum Tribe stuff, but then also be available for evening things, because Now, I'm kind of lucky that my husband's job has changed. So he's home in the evenings now and I can't get over it. I actually have someone with me now at night time. Before, it was just me on my own. And it is quite lonely. And I think that's why I enjoy Mum Tribe so much, because he keep me company in the evenings on like the chat or whatever. But now there's more and more things coming up and there's more opportunities that I'm kind of being exposed to. And I feel like I have to turn down an awful lot of them because I don't have the childcare. So I want to find someone that's like a babysitter as well, that could come down for the evening and just, they don't have to do anything, like, because I would have them in bed. Or also a big thing for me is that I could get someone and train them in on bedtime, because he is extremely fussy.
Okay.
I thrive on routine myself and he does as well. Mm-hmm. So like without fail, like when it comes to 5 o'clock, dinner is on, dinner is served at 5:30, and then he takes ages to eat, so he might not eat till 6:30. At 6:30 he's in the bath, happy out, splashing away, and then at around 7:00 he's getting out of the bath, getting dried or whatever. But it could take from 7:00 to like 8:30 for him to wind down totally, get into his jammies, get a book read. He gets his hair dried with a hairdryer because he has so much hair, even though I just got a cut and he still has so much hair, I don't get it. But like, I'd love to be able to trust someone enough to go, like, this is the routine.
Yeah.
Could you follow it? Would you be okay to put him to bed? And now I think that he's of an age where he could tell me if something happened or something was wrong.
Yeah.
Then it would be okay. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now. So just trying to find the perfect person is very hard.
I don't think you're ever going to not worry.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing that you need to sacrifice, whatever childcare you go for.
Yeah.
Someone else's methods are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. The big thing for me is if they're Garda vetted and they have first aid and transport. Because if they're Garda vetted, I would obviously trust it that, you know, they're not going to be someone really dodge. Because, like, oh, you see, I don't know, Ellen, like, when you think about it, someone could be Garda vetted and they could have this whole other side, and that really freaks me out. That really, really, really freaks me out.
It's that trust in your world.
Sure, I don't trust anything. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I would just be so worried that I'd put him in the care of someone that I couldn't trust them to mind him properly. Or that something would happen. Like, yeah. I even think that if I do go down the route of some kind of childminder / babysitter, I will have nanny cams. And I will have no problem telling them, I have nanny cams.
Yeah.
And I can click in and see how things are going.
That's the way the world is going, though.
I think I just feel a lot more secure knowing that I would have access to him when I need it. Like, I remember my niece babysat him once and she left her phone, I think, I don't know, in the hallway or something, and I was ringing and ringing and ringing and texting and texting, and I was getting nothing back. And of course then I was like, we have to go home, like something is wrong. And then she was like, oh, it's grand.
I feel like a negligent parent listening to you. Eric with someone, I'm like, right, that's it, door closed, bye.
Yeah, but you can trust everyone that you leave him with as well. Yes,
that's true. Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And like the people that have minded my son, I can trust 99.9% of the time. But I think if it's an outside child care provider, they have to be up to a certain scratch with me, you know,
especially if they're on their own. Some feedback from people, definitely. Oh, on this, definitely 100%.
Like, how did you pick the child care provider? Like, what kind of child care did you go for? What are the red flags? Because I think that's really important, especially for me, because like I want to know, what do I look for that just says goodbye? Like, because I'm going to treat this like a job interview. Like, this is their job to mind my child. Oh my God, I sound like a psycho.
No, you don't. I think that, especially when you're going one-on-one, and maybe that's why I defaulted to creche, because I was like, that stuff is already all done. But yeah, that's a one-to-one relationship. Yeah. And if you can't build rapport from day one, it's over time.
Yeah.
But from day one, you need to leave your child with this person. So
actually, one thing is, if there was a childcare provider that could talk from their side,
that would be, really interesting.
That would be brilliant, because I'd love to hear from someone who has listened to someone like me.
Yeah, and with the fear.
The absolute fear. And would be able to kind of say, like, you know, this is what we do, this is why we do it. And I don't know, it's just, I think it's really good to get the conversation going, because there's an awful lot of moms probably listening now that are pregnant or on mat leave, and they're probably thinking, like, what do? I go down the creche route, the childminding route? Do I go through family? The one thing I can say with your family is that you could have this random conversation and offend them so much that they get really odd, and then you're kind of like, ooh.
What? I'm 32. I've been offending my family for like 33 years.
Yeah, like before I left today, my mum.
I'm well used to it.
Yeah, I was wearing a different top and she was like, you're not wearing that, are you?
Oh.
And you're not wearing those earrings, are you? And I said, oh, I like it. I'm going to wear it. And then, of course, I went into the bedroom and I changed and I came out and she was like, oh, that's much better. And then I put on my coat and she was like, you're not going to wear that, are you? And I felt like, oh, fuck off. But then I was like, I actually really need you to stay here and mind my choice. So yeah. I'm just going to nip it in the bud now and just go grand.
That's you in the future now as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's grand. Yeah, sure, anyway. But yeah, okay, so if you are a childcare provider, if you are a nanny, you own a creche, if you're a babysitter, any kind of service like that, if you're looking for someone like that, get in touch with us and tell us what your concerns are, what you're looking for, how you've managed to find someone. Good, bad, any experiences you've had, because I'm sure there's lots of moms that would be interested in this. Absolutely. Moms and dads. I know it's mom tribe, but I know that dads have a certain say as well, because my husband always says
parent tribe
to me,
doesn't have the same ring,
like,
to it, does
why
it?
Can't you say it's like it's mom and dad tribe? And I was like, oh my god, you have to take over everything,
because my vagina was the one that was ripped.
I said that for Mother's Day when he asked me who was driving when we went for a dinner. I was like, well, the person who didn't rip their vagina off while pushing out the child gets to drive. So yeah, anyway, yeah, and get in touch, you know the contact details, but it's mumtribeireland@gmail.com, and we're on Instagram, Melon Ellen mumtribeireland. You can DM us there. It is really easy to keep on top of the emails though, so even if you want to put in the subject line mumtribe podcast and the episode and then give all your details in the body of the email, that would be great.
We'll be back waffling in your ears again sometime soon. Thank you very much for having us. Yeah. I've been Ellen.
And I'm Erica, as we know. Goodbye.